There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Tuesday. Live local talk over the hour. And Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran, our guest, he's joining us here in just a little bit. Your chance to ask the sheriff. Do it once a month, and there's lots to talk about. And your questions as well, you can text them in or call them in. We'll talk about that here in just a second. Plus, I got a note from a couple things going on as you got charities. I mean, we should be looking at these charities year-round, but special pushes going on right now. We'll talk about those coming up in just a little bit. I want y'all to say hello right now to Todd Simon, the fifth generation owner at Omaha Steaks. Hey, Todd.
Hey, how you doing, Sean?
Doing good. Good to get you back on the show. And I've been talking about our experience at the Sullivan House with Omaha Steaks, and we have both been the recipient and the giver of Omaha Steaks over the years. But you gotta tell me, I mean, your company has been doing this a lot, five generations of y'all doing this. So, I mean, how do you get to the point that you become this name when it comes to gift-giving for steaks? It didn't start with that.
No, it didn't. You know, we started in 1917. The company was founded by my great-great-grandfather, and he came to America from Latvia, got on the train, got off in Nebraska, where he thought it looked like home, and he started a small custom butcher operation called the Table Supply Company, or the Table Supply Meat Company. And then in the 50s, my grandpa started to get orders from people who had had our product on the passenger trains. And he started shipping out orders, and when my dad graduated from college, he said, you know, maybe we can make this shipping steaks directly to customers a thing. And so we did that. We started that in the mid-50s, and yada, 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 we're the largest direct-to-consumer seller of steaks and gourmet food in the country. So we're an overnight success that took about 100 years.
I love the story, though. It's a true American story here. And just the timing of having the product that people liked, but then you had the technology to make what y'all do possible. I talk about it when I talk about y'all, the way you deliver those steaks and all the other great meat products and the other products from Omaha Steaks. I mean, you have the ability now to deliver those fresh.
Well, what we've done is we perfected the art of the insulated shipping cooler, and what we do is we flash freeze our steaks at the peak of flavor and tenderness. So we say that our frozen steaks are fresher than fresh because we put them in a state of suspended animation. We've aged them for 21 to 28 days, then we hand trim them, we vacuum seal them, we flash freeze them, and we put them in this sturdy reusable shipping box, and we ship them directly to customers all over the country. We're going to ship almost 4 million packages this year.
Wow. And 4 million packages of what? Obviously steaks, and we talk about the filet mignon, but I mean, that is just the tip of the iceberg with y'all.
Right, so we started out with steaks, and like the package that we're featuring with you guys, the favorite gift, you know, mm-hmm. that has features our bacon wrap filet mignon, our 6-ounce bacon wrap. You take bacon and filet and put it together, and you know, how can you go wrong, right?
I love it.
And that's also got pork chops and burgers and our potatoes au gratin, our caramel apple tartlets, even some seasoning, our own special blend of seasoning to make it foolproof, and that 6-piece cutlery set. And I know you're going to tell everybody about that later at $69.99, mm-hmm. but and that's an amazing gift. But we started out with steaks, and then we quickly expanded to things like seafood. Like, we started to sell lobster tails, you know, surf and turf, and then we started to sell chicken, and then we started to sell appetizers and desserts. And now we've got about 600 different items, everything from the largest steaks you can imagine, which we call king cuts, like a 48-ounce T-bone steak or a 60-ounce sirloin steak or a 32-ounce tomahawk ribeye. We've got all those great big steaks, and then we also have single-serve meals that you can cook in your microwave in 4 minutes. And we've got every kind of everything in between, because we know that consumers today, some of them are real enthusiasts and want to cook all the time. Some of them want it to be easy and fast, but they don't want to sacrifice quality. And some people are in the middle where sometimes they'll want to do it easy and fast, and sometimes they're willing to really slow down and cook a steak dinner. So either way, we got it for them.
Yeah, that's me. I'm the one in the middle, right? On the weekends, it's one thing versus on the week when I'm just trying to get family fed and move on to the next project. But on the weekends, I love to slow down and fire up the grill. Let's talk about the process here. Somebody listening to us this time of year, they're looking for gift ideas for family members, for friends out there. You don't know what, I don't know what they like. I don't know what their fashion is. I don't know what their, they all like to eat steak. I can tell you that.
Exactly. And so the simplest thing to do is just to go to omahasteaks.com and you can enter your code in the search bar, which is, what is your code? It's Sullivan, I think.
That's right. Yes. Yeah.
Put Sullivan in the search bar, and you'll see that that favorite gift package that we were talking about before, regularly $218 for $69.99. You can still ship that out in time for Christmas, if you probably until the 18th or 19th of December. Order early. Order often, and we can even, if you're a procrastinator, we can even overnight it if you really get late in the season.
Perfect.
And there's a whole variety of things on the site. I mean, not only is there that favorite gift package, but we also have the full array of other choices. We've got lots of great combos. We've got a complete holiday meals that feature like prime rib or hams or turkeys. We've got gift baskets. We've got our new Omaha Cut Ribeye, which is a true steakhouse experience. We've even added new desserts this year, like individual chocolate soufflés. And, of course, that favorite gift package comes with the caramel apple tartlets, which you were telling me before the show are at least two per person.
Two per child,
right?
Yeah, two per child, for sure. I just want to tell people ahead of time, go ahead and plan accordingly. I know you might think, well, one each. Try two. Two each, because the kids love them. Love them.
Exactly. And we also, we specialize in corporate gifts. So if somebody out there has got, 100 clients or customers or employees that they need to give a gift to, we can help you with that, especially if they're spread all over the country, we just take all the guesswork out of it. And one of the things we've noticed, we did some research early in the season, is that 73% of individuals in a one-poll survey reported they'd rather receive food as a gift than more stuff. And 77% of men polled would rather get food as a gift than more stuff. And if you think about that, dads are hard to shop for, brothers are hard to shop for. I agree, moms and sisters are hard to shop for too. No, don't get me wrong. But it's always, we're always scratching our head. At least my kids are always scratching their head about what to give me.
Yeah, and you know what? A great cut of meat is everybody. It fits everybody. It's everybody's size.
That's right.
Not going to say it doesn't fit or it doesn't look good on them, because it looks great.
Right.
All right.
No wrong sizes. There's no wrong colors. And what it does is that when you give a gift of Omaha Steaks, you're not just giving meat in a box. You're giving that person a chance to bring their family and friends together around the table for an amazing meal. And isn't that what this time of the year is all about anyway?
For sure. Absolutely. And I like to get invited to those meals too. I'm just putting that out there so people know.
But,
Todd, thank you. Once again, tell people, go to the website, and you can even do it. You do it better than I do, and they can use my code. How do they go get this deal for the favorite gift package?
Right. So the favorite gift, again, is 4 6-ounce bacon-wrapped filet mignons, 4 pork chops, 4 Omaha Steaks burgers, 4 potatoes au gratin on the side, 4 caramel apple tartlets for dessert, a seasoning so it's foolproof, and a 6-piece cutlery set and cutting board for free. For $69.99, you go to omahasteaks.com and you enter your code, which is Sullivan, in the search bar, and you'll get right to that special. And feel free to look around, because there's lots of other great stuff on the site, too.
Hey, Todd, appreciate what you're doing. Thanks for checking in with us.
Hey, thank you, and happy holidays.
Hey, you too. Todd Simon from Omaha Steaks. We're coming right back. That's a big steak, not a big cheese. Right, can you say that? Mobile County Sheriff Tim Cochran joins us next. We'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 120 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Tuesday. I see it's probably the second Tuesday of the month because I look over and Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran is in studio. How you doing?
Doing well. Very good.
Lots to talk about today, and I want to remind folks, too, if they have a question for you, law enforcement question, this is their chance, instead of wondering or taking the word of the person they work with or their cousin. Well, my cousin says you could actually ask the sheriff.
Sure.
I'm going to start off with some of my questions, and I'm sure other people have questions. Mine is one that comes from the murder spree that happened at NAS Pensacola on Friday.
Yes.
And first of all, I'd like to point out, too, those Escambia County Sheriff's deputies that went right to the gunfire.
Sure.
I mean, that's...
did a heroic job.
Yeah. I mean, guys in that situation has the advantage on you. That person's in place and shooting, and you're having to come into it.
You're running towards the fire.
Right. I mean,
towards the shots.
This person's already shooting. It's not like a scuffle around a vehicle.
Right.
I mean, this person's already shown that he's going to shoot.
Yeah.
And he's taken some kind of position he's shooting.
Either that or he's still moving around in the building. And, of course, if he is, then you hear the shots and you approach to the shots and try to use cover. And we know that, you know, that's the best.
You said that over the years.
Attack as quickly as you can, and many times they kill themselves because they don't want to be killed by the police.
Now, and you've said that over time, that the training is, and I don't think I'm divulging anything I can't divulge, the training for law enforcement is not to set up perimeters and do all that stuff. It is to go to the gun. Don't wait. Don't stop and assist. I mean, I'm not trying to sound cruel, but this is true, right?
That,
it's not stop
exactly
and assist.
Right.
It's not it's go, go.
Go, 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 and... you know, step over the injured and wounded and injured to eliminate the threat. And then as soon as you eliminate the threat, then, of course, our people are trained to apply tourniquets and other major wound, you know, treatment.
But that's secondary, too.
That's secondary.
But that changed, right? I mean, there was a time when the idea, you set
time.
Up a perimeter and you did this and that, and then you called in other people and you...
The big watershed moment was Columbine, when the... Clay Bolshe, whatever the name was, were killing people, and used to your SWAT teams would be called out. You'd set up a perimeter, and you'd call what's a barricaded suspect. But what it is not a barricaded suspect; it's an active shooter.
Mm-hmm.
And so, when you have an active shooter, the whole philosophy of policing changed in those years to where if it's an active shooter, you've got to engage that active shooter. That's what you're trained for, and that's what you're expected to do.
I wonder how many lives were saved by those deputies.
Oh, I can't imagine. It's going to be interesting to see you know, the final investigation, see just how everything went down. But
he was already, I mean, is shooting. I didn't see any kind of stop point for that guy. So let's talk about this big question that a lot of us have, how this guy, this Saudi national, part of, I guess, Saudi Air Force, got this Glock. Because the story came out, I guess it was on Friday's presser, maybe, that they said he legally obtained this firearm, which left a lot of people scratching their head because this guy's not a citizen, not even an immigrant.
There is an exception in the federal law that if you have obtained a hunting license, then you're able to purchase a firearm. You know, the gun lobby has been strong. The sports lobby has been strong for many years. And I suspect that at the time Congress was trying to tighten up the rules on gun purchases, people said, what about the guy that wants to hunt? And so I can see you know, you can side with understanding that a little
bit. I can. Yeah, I can see if I had some relative from another country came in who wanted to go hunting with me, I'd want them to be able to. I don't know why you wouldn't load them one of your firearms to do it, but... And I know that they can't, this is something you can't do at a gun counter, but when this came out Friday, my reaction here on the air was, I don't want everybody who's, you know, a handgun hunter for deer to text in. I know it's done. It's fine. I'm not against y'all. But at least when somebody comes up and they got a hunting license as a reason to be able to go through the NICS check and they're buying a Glock 9, It's not a 30-06. It's not a.
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
At least
it's
that should have.
Seemed like that's in some flags.
I would have flagged something. I'm not saying I would have denied the sale, but I'd say, hey, y'all need to look into this or something. This guy's going to go hunting, but he's bought a Glock 9.
Yeah.
Like the last firearm, the hardest firearm to hunt with is. Why would he buy that? You know, that, I mean, it seems like that would flag it.
Well,
I'm a strong defender on all levels of Second Amendment rights for Americans, but I'll have to say in this case, this guy's not an American.
No, and he's over here for a different purpose than sporting hunting and stuff like that. And the disturbing thing, from what I understand, you know, there's a number of Saudis over there, and this guy bought the gun in July. Now, somebody needs to be called to task, his brethren or something like that, his military friends. If they know this guy's got a gun, somebody should have said something. So I think that our government needs to call their government to take them to task in some way, shape, or form.
Big time. Big time.
Yes,
I do wonder, there's reports that come out in the AP and a couple other places, but I mean, I'm telling y'all this has not been, you know, double confirmed, but it has come out in stories quoting anonymous high-ranking officials with NAS Pensacola. Okay, that's the best I can do on how they corroborated it, that this the murderer was in there, but there were also three other members of the Saudi military. They're one outside, videoing outside the classroom, and then two in a nearby car. There may be a completely innocent reason for them to be doing that. I think it bears some serious looking at.
Oh, it's real serious looking at. I mean, I understand there are allies in the Middle East, but if we're training their soldiers over here, they need to have a better handle on their soldiers and need to call home any of them that knew this guy had a gun and take him to task.
I wonder in this situation too, how the would it be? And this is getting out of the realm of law enforcement into military, but wouldn't it be the Saudi commander be responsible for those soldiers
so.
Here? Wouldn't he be their direct CO?
Yeah, they'd have to be supervised somehow or another with someone in country, and of course, they're supposed to be properly vetted by both the Saudis as well as us. But I mean, you can see how this can happen in hindsight. Who'd have thought about the hunting? I was unaware of that till I did the research this morning.
A couple questions here. What comes first within a local law enforcement, a state or federal government and their demands and commands, or the people of that law enforcement jurisdiction? I think this person's asking a question like
who has charge.
So let's be specific here to NAS Pensacola. So who? I mean, is the fact that the sheriff's deputies went in because nobody else was there to go in, or is that? Like, if we had a facility here in Mobile County, is it your job with your deputies to go in, or is it?
Yeah, sure. First responders, and they're the closest responders, and as I understand,
you think they'd be on base would be even. I mean,
they have a precinct or substation right off of base, and so when the call came out, it was right at shift change or something, I think, for the sheriff's office, and so there were several of them right there. Just went a short distance, immediately got there. In fact, I think the first one was on a motorcycle or something. Maybe I'm not sure, but so they were there on the scene. I think they even beat the Navy police. Of course, I think you might have seen on the news last night, maybe one of the naval officers that was a guard was unarmed.
Yes, and watchman.
Posted, you know, so it's just awful when you, again, hindsight. But so the deputies got there. But in a situation like this, it's a terrorism-related incident, obviously, it seems like. The FBI, I think, is, and there's some federal rules and laws that show who becomes the lead agency. But we've trained many times over the years.
Y'all train with the federal government a lot.
Exactly. We sure do. I mean, we work with them. We have people assigned to federal task forces.
Now, by the way, just a side note here. Jurisdictions have always been interesting. Those of us who watch enough movies, we see, one police officer going, hey, I'm going into your area. Can I get a pursue? Is there any kind of, like, short version of how that works? I mean, jurisdictions
Do you really call the other? We frequently chase cars in the Mississippi on either Highway 98 or I-10 or some of the other roads, and sometimes we'll call them. And we were chasing a stolen car two nights ago, and it went on in I think 98 into Mississippi. But
so I mean, is it like a movie that you get on the radio and you call like dispatch there and say we're coming? I mean,
we call our dispatch. Our dispatch calls them, and in some cases you have joint frequency channel. Sometimes some agencies can communicate that way, but generally those chases, you really start backing down when it looks like they're going to go that far into Mississippi.
By that point, I guess the neighboring jurisdiction is ready for them.
Well, sometimes it depends time of night. This was 2 or 3 in the morning the other night, and so I think the guy got away, but we know who he was, and he was in a stolen car, and so it didn't really you know, need to be a long chase anyhow. And that's one of the most important things we look at today is car chases. There are too many agencies doing too many car chases across mm-hmm. this country, and you know, I think.
But when do you say, you know, we've talked about this before, when do you say no, when do you say yes?
Well, the traffic conditions, the time of night, the neighborhoods or open highways, things of that nature, what they're wanted for, what you know they're wanted for. And
so that does come into it. Yeah.
And then the supervisors have to give an approval, and that's pretty.
But if somebody jaywalked, and then jumped in a vehicle and was fleeing, there would be different parameters than somebody accused of murder jumps in a vehicle and is fleeing.
Yeah, well, you've had the robbery heist or jewelry heist in Florida the other day that mm-hmm. ended in tragedy, and I don't know the results overall, but it looked to me that it was. I think it could have been handled better, but they chased that big car, and I mean van and
UPS van, yeah.
And then they had somebody filmed it, a big shootout, and the driver of the van was killed, and
the hostage inside, and an
innocent man. Now, I don't know if the robbers killed the driver or if all the bullets that were shot into that truck, but you know, hindsight is like, oh, they'd been better off to let them get away.
And what do you do? And then we come back for the break. We're close to the break here, but mm-hmm. I thought about you when I saw that. I said, you know, you're in that situation. You know that you have armed criminals in that van. Mm-hmm. At the same time, I mean, the officers were using the vehicles that had people in them to take cover behind, and I don't expect them not to. Mm-hmm. But at that point, that you have these so many people between, do you fall back?
Sometimes you have to have the discipline. Just because you're being shot at doesn't mean you can shoot back. You've got to know what's in the path of your bullets when you let loose. But you know, it's just like the car chase. Sometimes you back off, because if you back off and let them get away, they're not going to keep speeding. And it's terrible when a police chase ends in innocent lives being taken.
All right, coming right back. Your chance to ask the sheriff, Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran, our guest right here on the Day Mobile.
With Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5. Tuesday edition of Midday Mobile. Phone number, text line 343-0106. 343-0106. And we have in studio guest every second Tuesday of the month. Good to see Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran in studio. Now, I know this is not for your deputies, but did you hear that I'm going to be part of the judging of the Mr. and Miss MPD contest going on Beauty Pageant?
No.
You've got any guys?
Is that the mod?
Yes, mod pizza thing. So
yeah.
I'm generally uncomfortable with my situation right now, Sheriff, that I'm going to mm-hmm. have to be a judge of officers here, and I'm going to have to pick one over the other, you know?
That's correct. Remember, I learned that a long time ago in beauty pageants. You're going to make somebody happy and a whole bunch of people mad at
you. Right. And I get thrown into this when it's law enforcement. Kid, come on. How I get roped into this stuff. Unbelievable. Also, during the break, we've been, and actually when you first got in here and during the break, we are watching this situation in New Jersey. I see people on the text line talking about it. They're saying an ambush of law enforcement there in New Jersey.
Yeah, it's been a terrible couple of weeks for us here in Alabama and across the country. And of course, as we speak right now, until 2 o'clock, there's visitation, and the funeral starts at 2 in Huntsville for Officer Clardy that was killed just a few days ago. And what a shock I saw yesterday in the news that his dad was a police officer killed in line of duty in 1978.
Yeah, you told me that. I did not know that. So yeah. Can you imagine one family having both father and a son?
Mm-hmm.
And this is, you know, if we look at the statistics for our state now, this will be six.
Six by gunfire, and one was killed in an accident. There's been seven killed now, but one was in an automobile accident.
I mean, that's I don't have the other years in front of me, but that has to be.
I think it's probably one of the largest, if not the largest, in history for Alabama, unless there was some. I don't know.
What's going on?
Just recklessness and propensity of guns everywhere, and you know, this case is a drug case in Huntsville. You know, I think drugs and alcohol were involved in the shooting of Sheriff John Williams three or four weeks ago. I attended that funeral, and great guy. And
he meant a lot to that community there.
He did. He was very well respected throughout, and very well respected by the other 66 sheriffs in Alabama. Knew him personally and really enjoyed spending some time with him.
Yeah, this is these stats are horrible for sure. All right, grab some phone calls here. Dale is in Mobile. Dale, you're on with Sheriff Cochran.
Good afternoon, Sheriff.
Yes, sir.
Sean, hope y'all are doing well. God bless the families of the fallen that we've had here that can endure this. Over about, as you know, about November the 19th, the city, Mobile City Council, three individuals failed to pass a referendum allowing United States citizens to vote into the city of Mobile. And soon after that, it appears members of the city council have taken it to taking on basically waging war on Mobile County and the city and those citizens by threatening to just remove all services from them. What's the fallout? What's the implications of that, Sheriff? How's that coming along? What are we really faced with there?
Well, I think they're making some efforts or discussions about rolling the jurisdiction back in. Last year there was a bill in the legislature that would allow the cities to do away with jurisdictions completely, but it did not pass, but it will come up again.
That's what I'm saying. I heard that bill is going to come back up
and,
this session.
If they were to do that, it would leave, you know, 70,000 people out in the dark, so to speak. We don't have taxing authority, so we would not be able, as a county, to tax to provide the services. So it was a terrible move on the part of the city, and I know not all the city councilors voted against it, but it, in my opinion, I've been in this city, working in this city for 45 years, and 31 in the city of Mobile, but it's just a horrible decision to make, and what it will do is strangle Mobile off, because if they pull in, West Mobile would then be forced to incorporate and either create their own police and fire departments or contract like we do in Sims, but they would still have to incorporate, and then that would, in essence, box the city of Mobile in, and Mobile would just start to die slowly.
Well, we certainly don't want that to happen. We want to be part of the city of Mobile and support our local community and grow this entire region.
There's some ideas, and I think there's still some discussions, and I'm still think there's some solutions out there that can bring this to bear.
Well, I certainly appreciate it. You know, a lot of people are under the impression that Mobile County should be supplying fire protection also for the citizens, that that the state law says that they do. But I don't think that's the case at all.
No, they have to form a fire district, and then the district has to tax. And, you know, oftentimes the communities are dependent on volunteer fire departments. And if you speak with any of them historically, they're just getting smaller and smaller, and there's just less people that can volunteer to do that. You really need a professionally or paid professional fire department. And, I mean, I know the volunteers get a lot of service and do a great job, but there's more and more put on them, and there's more and more emergency medical services that are really difficult to have volunteers be able to do all that.
Well, thank you very much for your support and the work your officers do and all of law enforcement here in South Alabama.
Sure.
Thank you, Sean.
Hey, thank
you. Have a pleasant day.
Thank you. Thanks for the call. You and I have talked about that before. If the number, this is, I want people to hear this because it gets thrown around back and forth. From you, Sheriff Cochran, the number, if you had to have deputies patrol these areas, they're now within the jurisdiction.
Yeah.
How many?
It'd be over 50 deputies to have the same ratio.
Additional to the department
we have right now.
You would have to add 50 more.
Yeah. And we just literally physically couldn't do it. It just, I mean, not over a short period of time. It would take a matter of a couple of years to recruit and hire and train 50 additional deputies while at the same time maintaining the force that we have now. But now let me say this, the police department is struggling with hiring people just as difficult and maybe more so than we are. So,
right.
You know, many of those people he was referring to were Mobilians and they moved into different neighborhoods and many of them did not know they were moving out of Mobile. But Mobile, you know, I was there 45 years ago and they were encouraged to live around Mobile in the jurisdiction and as police officers, and we serviced those areas when
is that question asked when you're recruiting new officers, do they live in the city? Is that asked or
that's kind of a cyclical thing. Many years ago there was some movements to try to have everybody live in the city, but it's just impossible to hire people doing that, and then people argue that was not fair to try to dictate where somebody lives, although I think that political appointees, it should be required that they live in the jurisdiction in which they work.
I want to ask, I got a couple questions here on the text line. This one, deputies have ARs in their patrol cars. Do they own them or are they county supplied? How often do they practice with these and all firearms? And I'm going to just say AR, by the way, specific brand name. So semi-automatic rifle.
We issue our deputies carbines, but some of them have specialized weapons similar and maybe more expensive. And if they want to have their own weapon in it, they have to qualify on a range with our range master, and then they can carry the personal ARs or whatever. You know,
okay,
the different
so semi-automatic rifle.
Yeah,
or,
yeah, but they all have rifles, and you know, for things that we just saw earlier on TV, and
yeah, we're
shoot
watching
out
this
with the New Jersey situation.
You know what? I'm going to play the audio for everybody that you and I listened to during the break. I'm going to play this. This should make the hair stand up on the back of your neck. So this is the shooting going on between the sheriff there in New Jersey and the shooters. You know, people call them suspects. I'll call them the bad guys that are inside this bodega. Let's go ahead and roll that audio. So when the discussion has come up before, and this is one of these places where I'm a strong supporter of law enforcement, but mm-hmm. I'm also a person that sees law enforcement and military as very different things,
mm-hmm.
very
mm-hmm.
different things. But people have made the argument, well, why would law enforcement need any kind of technology that came from the military? Why would law enforcement need rifles, you know, that with a high-capacity magazine? I want you all to just listen to what just happened there.
Yeah, because,
That wasn't one shot. That was magazines worth of ammunition being shot out of that bodega, and then law enforcement having to fire back.
Yeah, the reason law enforcement uses military weaponry is because the bad guys have graduated up to military weaponry as well. You know, large magazines and semi-automatics.
But you just heard it.
You can fire a semi-automatic just about as quick as an automatic, you know, I mean, and you're really better off firing it probably semi-automatic mm-hmm. in many instances, better control. But so, you know, once it gets to that level, it's you just hit back with might against might.
I mean, that's what y'all were hearing. You'll see the video, I'm sure, this evening, and you'll see what we're talking about. But this was when people ask that question: why does law enforcement need anything but their service revolver? Yeah, that's why.
That's exactly why.
All right, coming right back. More with Sheriff Sam Cochran right here on Midday Mobile.
Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 150 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile, the segment of the show brought to you by our friends at Harry's. You got a guy in your life you're shopping for this holiday season. Of course, we guys can be hard to shop for. You get them something they don't want, like another set of socks or a tie they're not going to wear or whatever. The hat that has the two things for beers in it with the straw that comes in, they don't want that either. You got that last year. How about something practical they're going to use, they're going to love? I've been telling you about shaving with Harry's for years, and right now y'all can give the gift of a great shave with a Harry's shave set. When you use my code MOBILE at harrys.com, you'll get $5 off any Harry's shave set, and the free shipping ends December 16th, so you need to act now. It's a practical gift that he'll actually use. Harry's makes sharp blades that last, German engineered and award winning, backed by a 100% quality guarantee. So if he doesn't love his shave, you'll get a full refund. A special offer for y'all: we've partnered with Harry's to give you $5 off any shave set, including their limited edition holiday sets, when you enter code MOBILE at harrys.com. Plus, you'll get free shipping. Each Harry's shaving set comes with a weighted handle, the option to have it engraved, 5-blade razor cartridges, foaming shave gel for that rich lather, a travel cover to protect your blades, and it's packaged in a handsome holiday gift box. In other words, no wrapping. That's what I like. Free shipping ends on December 16th, so act now. Just use code MOBILE at harrys.com. That's code MOBILE. All right, continue our conversation with Sheriff of Mobile County, Sam Cochran. I want to run through a couple more texts and questions we got in here. Let's see. First one here. Lisa, we had a gun stolen several months ago in Saraland. The weapon was retrieved in a home by SPD, Saraland Police Department, as someone called in shots fired. The PD filed a report, returned our gun, yet nothing ever came from this. I do not understand this process at all.
So the gun was stolen and the gun was recovered?
Yes.
And the shots called, and seems like they could have pursued a receiving stolen property from the person that the gun was recovered from.
Yeah, it says...
I think that's what our question is.
Yeah, the gun was retrieved. It was stolen several months ago. Then it was retrieved in a home by Saraland Police Department. So it was stolen in Saraland, retrieved in Saraland. Someone called in, shots fired. Police Department filed a report, returned our gun, yet nothing ever came from this.
That'd be a good question to call the Saraland Police Department, ask them why nothing ever came.
Somebody else talking, we were talking about the... shooting that was going down in New Jersey, and just I just wanted to point that out. And this, we've got an officer that's been shot there. We got an ambush shooting, but this goes back to a discussion of, and somebody had just asked about semi-automatic, you know, AR platforms that were carried by officers. That just as a civilian, to me, that's why you would carry that.
Yeah, I mean, civilians have them. We need to have them. Civilians have them.
But that was
the civilians have them stolen from them.
Did you count the round? I mean, I didn't count,
but
it was
a lot of several rounds being fired off by.
It was a constant shooting between the two. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable that's going on in the city. John asked, when is Sims going to establish its own police department? Is the sheriff's department being paid by Sims?
Yeah, we contract with Sims, and they pay the cost of the deputies assigned there. They pay for the gas, the cars, the radios, every bit of equipment they pay for. So the county's not losing out anything by doing it for them, and it works out really well. They get a professional law enforcement agency, and they get the backup support of the rest of the sheriff's office too if needed, and it saves them from having to spend huge amounts of capital expenditures to have their own police force. But it's strictly up to the citizens of Sims, but I'll tell you, they've got a good thing going.
But there has to be, and this is what you said earlier, and when Dell called, you have to have a taxing, so Sims is a municipality, they have a taxing authority, they can raise the funds, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if we get in a situation with the 70,000 people on the, in the West Mobile there that didn't get a chance to, and the 13,000 get a chance to vote, if the jurisdiction comes back, you have said it would take 50, 50 deputies. So they would have to form, it doesn't have to be a city, you said, it could be a...
Well, a city has to be formed to have the taxing authority.
So they would have to, so it would have to be the city of West Mobile, for example.
Yeah. A city has taxing authority.
Okay.
Whereas the county commission doesn't have taxing authority, they have to go to state legislature, but so...
Can you form any other kind of taxing authority that's not a city?
I think there might would be ways you could. I'm not familiar with that. You know, fire districts are not cities, but they are taxing authority once they're formed. And I know the city of Mobile formed some kind of special taxing district downtown in the entertainment district. So I know there's ways and avenues to do that. But
so they conceivably, I know you don't have officers or deputies for this, but if the city of West Mobile formed, or they formed some entity to tax themselves, I know you don't have the 50, but something like Sims could happen where they would pay.
They would could contract with us.
It would still be Mobile County Sheriff's deputies, but they would be assigned to this area.
Yeah, sure. We would, you know, contract. Many cities are contracting with the sheriff's offices. Montgomery does a lot of it. Shelby County has a lot of it. You know, the smaller cities, it's a small police department has all kinds of liability issues, you know, from having to have their own mini jail or something to, you know, proper training and economy of scale. You'd think that the larger agency can get things better. You know, you have to, you know, we train our people, you know, several times a year, but a small police department has to send people out of town to another agency to get their officers trained individually so they don't get a chance to train together. And lots of challenges for a small city, and the quality of policing fluctuates from city to city.
All right. Let's talk about where people can find more information about what y'all are doing with the Sheriff's Department online.
Yeah, they can follow us on Facebook, Team Sheriff, or they can go to our website, mobileso.com, follow us on Twitter and Instagram.
All right, and people go on there and they can see Come on, let's talk about the misery. Yeah, they see who's in jail.
See pictures of who's in jail in the last 24 hours. That's the biggest, most popular spot. And, but there's a lot of community resources on there and on our website. A lot of things you can click on.
And you can, yeah, if people want to get an idea, crimes and in their area around the county, they could look at that.
Yeah, yeah. Crime, you can put the dates on the crimes on, and pull it up on your mobile app, and it shows you where the crimes occur.
All right, very good. I can't believe we did this. This may be a first.
I think so, without a pistol pointing
at you. That's right. I'm not even looking over at the phone bank. We made a whole show without a concealed carry permit question.
We're issuing a lot of them right now. This time of the year, it gets busy, and so we've been busy issuing them. I think people are buying weapons and for gifts, and people remember to get their permits.
Dalton, no. Dalton is, we could hear him because it's quiet. We could hear him in the control room. I'm not taking the call because we've done something for the record books here. Made it through. We'll probably take a slew of permit questions on next show.
I hope all you listeners have a happy Christmas, safe holidays, and be aware of your surroundings.
Yeah, well said. Merry Christmas to you, Sheriff, and the whole crew at Mobile County Sheriff's Office.
The porch pirates, they're out there and about.
That's right. If I only had something on the porch for them to take. Well, I don't even want to jinx that because I hear they're stealing Christmas decorations now.
Yeah. Although I would never do it, never recommend it, but I do think it's funny when somebody grabs something that's a little electrified.
Or a big bag of dog. All right, Paul Feinbaum next.